Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Time now to take a look at some company results, and this time we're taking a look at a key insurance player in the financial services space in South Africa. Momentum Group has published record profits today, and on the back of that, also improved on their dividend to shareholders. Double-digit growth being reported in key metrics right across the group, including the 6 billion rand profit that's also hit a significant mark. To help us understand some of the key highlights within these numbers, the outlook, and most importantly, a better understanding of what we do see within the financial services space, we are joined by the Group CEO of Momentum, that is Jeanette Marais. Such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you for making time, Jeanette.
Thank you, and thank you to all the listeners. It really is a privilege to be here.
More like it's our privilege to be here with you, Jeanette, because when I took a look at the numbers today, my jaw literally dropped. On the backdrop of the South African economy and the constraints that we're well aware that we're under, you've managed to record not only a record output in terms of your profit, but also seeing key metrics like your operating profit, return on equity, in double digits. And maybe we just need to contextualize how this particular performance was attained.
Sure. Where do I start? You know what? What I will do is I will start a year ago. Mm-hmm. A year ago, that I've now been Group CEO for 2 years. Yes. And the first year was actually wonderful because it just gave us, you know, it gave me a chance to get my head around, you know, where I wanted to take this business, made sure that I had the right team in place. And then a year ago, we launched our impact strategy, which really is a 3-year strategy. We launched that to the market. And this is now the end of the first year of that strategy. Mm-hmm. So I want to start by saying that I think when you have a clear strategy in a group, when you actually rally all of your employees around, we know where we're going, we know what our plans are, we know that we now have a CEO who do not believe in under-promise and over-deliver, which means we over-deliver and then we make plans to deliver on that. Mm-hmm. It focuses people's energy on what really matters. Part of what we also did this last year, and I know you would think that this is nothing to do with our results, but actually I believe it's at the heart of it. A year and a half ago, we launched a group purpose, and I'm going to share it with you, to build and protect our clients' financial dreams. How beautiful is that? Mm-hmm. Now, what that caused was an energy in this group where people now get out of bed in the morning. And they're almost less worried about, are we going to be able to deliver 7 billion rand of earnings in 2027? They're more focused in, am I doing what's right for my client with every phone call, with every transaction, and with every interaction? And I believe that have started to create an energy in this group that have focused people on what really truly matters in the long run. Now, I'll be fired as a CEO if I don't deliver and with my team deliver on the targets that we've set. But often, if you can focus on what's right, the profits will follow. So if we look at what happened in our business, is that we operate 9 different businesses in 9 different markets, you know, short-term insurance, health insurance, group insurance, life insurance, investments, and so forth. And then also our business that we have in India. And of these businesses, every single one of them, in fact, 8 out of 9 have actually improved on the earnings that we had last year. Now, last year was a record year for the group. Mm. And now all of them, 8 out of the 9 businesses have actually managed to improve on our targets for last year. How that happened was, I think, an acute focus on what we need to do. Absolute disciplined execution on the plans that we've set for ourselves. Very disciplined measurement all the time on, are we delivering on our promises? And, you know, then sometimes you also just make your own luck and things start to work together and you come to market with the kind of results that we were privileged to bring to market today.
Yeah. Significant growth in your numbers, as I've mentioned, and that's right across the spectrum, as you've alluded to. I do want to come a little bit closer to home, especially when it comes to Momentum Retail and Metropolitan Life. Retail, you saw your normalized earnings there increased by 22%. Metropolitan Life reported a 46% increase there. This is quite telling because it means that even though South Africa remains a very competitive market and one where consumers are strained, there's something that you're doing appropriately in order to manage the jaws or the margins within your business here.
Look, I think in those markets, there are 3 things that's really, really important. The first one is, your distribution, how you actually reach those clients. And this morning in our results presentation, I spent a little bit of time on that. In Metropolitan, we believe in face-to-face distribution. We have people who look after people. We believe in the value of financial advice and financial advisors. So in Metropolitan, that played a very, very big role, that we are investing in our distribution force. We make sure we have the right people, the right quality people that we put in front of our clients, and that they then look after clients with a proper plan and proper advice. And then you have to have the best products. Now, how can you ever have the best product, but make sure that they are competitive, make sure that your service supported, make sure that every interaction the client have with you is a positive one? So I think those things are very, very important in the retail space. And then you must know that when your consumers are under financial pressure, you must also be able to run a lean enough business that from time to time you can pass some of those savings back to your clients to make sure that their affordability is actually increased and that they don't need to cancel their policies, but they can actually stay with you.
100%. I do want to talk to you about perhaps some industry trends that we do see emerging, especially when it comes to the health environment. I am aware that there's a back and forth with regard to the implementation of NHI, and naturally that does impact a few of the pillars of your organization. How are you focused on that regarding health? And of course, just finding ways of actually ensuring that universal healthcare, yes, is prioritized, but there's still a key role for organizations like yours to play.
Look, I think there are many aspects to this. So firstly, you know, when NHI was announced the first time, the first thing we needed to know was that, yes, if it is unconstitutional, we do need to do what we need to do to make sure that legally, you know, this is the right thing to do for South Africa, that affordability is there and so forth. But I think more importantly, we realized early on that government cannot do this all by themselves. And if we as companies in the private sector sit back and we blame government for something, we're not going to get anywhere. We needed to get up. We needed to take hands. We needed to help them make better plans. We needed to show them that as administrators of health plans in South Africa, we could be partners in this rather than for them to destroy a massive industry and maybe get it right or not, but it's a big gamble. So that was one of the things that we did that really actually reached out, and where we reached out to government to work with them. But I think there's one other aspect that I want to mention that we're very, very proud of, and it's a very fast growing area for us. And that is a product that we have that's called Health for Me. It literally is I don't want to call it bottom of the range. I mean, that's not the right way. But actually what it does is it brings private healthcare to people who in the past would have needed to go and queue at a clinic somewhere and hope that, you know, after 6 or 7 hours, they actually get to see someone in that clinic.
Yes.
And Health for Me is one of the fastest growing offerings in the South African market. And in Momentum Health, we believe our purpose is to provide more health for more people for less. And that's all about inclusion. It's all about dignity. It's all about the fact that we believe that every South African have the right to access to healthcare. The point is how you deliver it, and the delivery mechanism, I think, is what's so important. And that is what we are worried about in terms of almost the dogmatic way in which government at the moment say they're going to implement NHI. Because if we don't work together, if we can't bring the expertise we have to that partnership, it is actually going to be to the detriment of our people and of South Africa at large.
100%. And that sentiment is certainly shared right across the spectrum, even for South Africans who need accessible products, as you've mentioned. I'm quite keen. Many of your peers in the space that you're in are adopting new strategies to either participate in the banking or payments environment. You've probably received this question for months on end now, Jeanette. But any plans to launch a bank, partner with a bank?
What is wonderful is that I've been answering this question for months, but not yet today. So, you know, I would give you the golden star for the best question of the day. The answer for us is actually unequivocal, and that is that we as a group are not going to start a bank. Mm-hmm. We actually do not fundamentally believe that you have to own a bank in order to be able to get the benefits that a banking partnership could bring you. And more than that, if we look at the world of open finance, and open finance simply says that gone are the days, and it will be soon in South Africa as well. We specifically look at the UK market, where the bank control that information and where the bank almost regard your information as their information.
Yes.
That is about to end, and it will end in South Africa. So the benefit of having to go through obtaining a banking license, the capital requirements, the years that it takes, you know, for you to get to a profitable business.
Yep.
In order to then have a bank so that you could load financial services products on that, we don't believe that's the right way to go about it. So partnership, absolutely yes. But actually, at the end of the day, it's about data. It's about knowing more about your clients. And I can tell you now, many banks in South Africa, we all bank with them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels to me they have all my data. They know every single thing I do in terms of money, but they still don't know anything about me because they don't use that data. And I think for us, our focus is on saying data is out there. We can partner with data providers. The question is, what do you do with that data?
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually then, you know, enable yourself to offer tailor-made products to clients? Do I know, can I see that suddenly your credit card is being swiped at Babies for Us, if there's such a shop? Therefore, there's a life event in your world, and therefore, I need to start. Banks don't do that.
Mm.
So actually, do we have to start a bank to do that, to play in that space? We don't believe so.
Got you. Jeanette, before I let you go, there is a 1 billion rand buyback program that you've participated in. You've got record profits. You've mentioned that you do have operations as well in markets like India. In terms of your outlook, any acquisitions on the horizon?
Wonderful question. So the 1 billion buyback actually in a way signals to the market that, you know, with a 15 to 20% discount to our embedded value, we think that that's fantastic, you know, return for clients, because actually they get 15 to 20% almost immediate return on that money. The wonderful thing is that is not the end of the capital that we have available. Right now, we sit on about 3 billion rand of excess capital post our dividend that we're also paying.
Sure.
That we almost keep in a kitty for when great opportunities come along. We see it as a bit of a seller's market at the moment. Once or twice in the last while, we participated in biddings for certain businesses, and then we didn't even make it to the second round. We were told, well, you know, up your check by a billion or 2 billion, and then you can play. And I believe that disciplined capital management is as important. Why would you completely overpay for a business that actually doesn't even have the ability to then generate, you know, the profit to justify the price you paid for it? So I believe part of where we are is that we have a very, very strict, disciplined, you know, capital management policy. Are we looking? Yes, we are. But what is more important for me is that we also start to look at the exportable, great, unique capabilities we have. Are there other markets? Should we build our own fortunes rather than to go and buy something that someone else have built?
Mm-hmm.
How can we invest in our great businesses to make them grow, to make them stronger and bigger, and to access other markets that can help us grow rather to only look for acquisitions? So it's a combination of the three, really.
Got you. Jeanette, if anything, I must tell you that closing line is probably the science of your success. That pun is intended there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again, Jeanette Marais, the Group CEO of Momentum.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.